14 for a couple moments, and then I want us to practice there. And don't worry, we don't have to get this all right in the first night. We have plenty of nights to practice. And you have a script that's already been written by Father and Son and was in Christ, and it's before the foundation of the world, and your inheritance has already been established. Your sonship, your calling, the day of your birth, the day of your new birth, all these things were known. All these things have been exercised with our will of choice. He beckoned, we responded. He's come to probably every one of us on a number of occasions, and he actually said something that excited us, and we heard his voice, and he said, come follow me. And we left everything. Whatever we were doing at that moment, we just said, okay, and we went. And in going, we journeyed, and then after a while, we kind of lose sight of the one we were journeying with and get overwhelmed with the stuff we're having to do, and then we have to renew that place and get a hold of that sound, and maybe we interpret it's going to be this, but it turns out to be that, and then we're trying to sort that out. And a lot of times, I believe what happens is that we just do get disconnected from the very gift that we are given. And I believe that what God came to do was to secure through his death and burial, resurrection, his ascension, his now intercession, a place where he could live in the midst of each one of us, and then corporately begin to build a house together of living stones. So in John 14, we're going to talk about promise and the power of his word abiding in us. And what does abiding look like a little bit? And then we're going to practice about power. Jesus said in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. So Jesus delivers this huge statement. I mean, you think following things I say is hard. If you imagine Jesus just making this kind of statements, and it's kind of like, and you know, so they're going, what, and he starts to explain over and over what that meant. But we know now that Jesus is going to the cross, reconciling us to God in his death, being raised in our justification, ascending now, praying in our intercession, that he secured a place for us in himself. He came to us now in the new birth. The Bible says he dwells in our heart by faith. Okay, but that's not like a little statement. I mean, it is a statement, and it can be something we say, where's Jesus? Oh, he's in my heart. But the possibility of Jesus dwelling in our heart by faith is far greater than I think I'm experiencing. And so he says, I'm going to prepare this place, and that where I am, you may be also, and I'm the way. And he goes and he says, well, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So just come through me. So that's why when we're by ourselves and we go to our quiet time, that's an immediate experience in his presence if we come by Jesus Christ. And we can start in the place that has been prepared and not try to find our way in there. When I was a young man, I first got saved in 1976. It was in the church culture of the day, in the charismatic renewal, which I was born into, was what we would call our devotional time, our prayer time, our alone time. There was a man named Dick Eastman that had brought the whole concept of our secret place and our prayer. Then there was the Bill Bright, who would teach us how to pray. And then there was the Larry Lees and the Dr. Cho's. And it just seemed like we all understood that my life was as rich as my own quiet time with God. And that I could go an expansive experience with God and then carry that into the assembly. Over time, somehow, a lot of things got being done for us, and we got a lot of support systems and a lot of mass movement, and I'm not sure anymore that we know the joy of the quiet time, the place in his presence. But Jesus went on in John 14:22, after he tried to explain, Holy Spirit coming, I'm in the Father, you're going to know me. He goes along and he comes to the place where he says, Judas asks him the question. He says, well, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So the word home is the same word for mansions. So now we're understanding that if I love God, the one thing that shows that I love God more than anything is that I keep and value his word. The keep his word does not mean do his word. It means to guard it. And not from it being escaped, but for something taking and removing it from us. And so we hold it as precious. And he says, if you value my word, then that will be cause my Father to be delighted in and come in a intentional, aggressive way to love you. And we will come, me and my Father, and we'll make our home with you. Now, we're going to learn that the Bible is a door of experience, and the words are to be experienced, not to kind of give us, you know, surreal and things, imagery that is kind of like, oh, that is symbolic of. I really believe that God came to make his home in us. And when he's at home in us, things are pretty good. Circumstances may still be the same after he's settled in at home, but you are way better because you're hosting Father, and you're hosting Jesus, and you're hosting his love. But there's a key right there. He says, they will keep my word. It says, he who does not love me does not keep my words, does not guard them, value them, make them precious, hold them close to him. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when it comes to making our heart a mansion to God, and I think next week I'll share more of my testimony in the last 5 years, how I've learned these things experientially, as well as, you know, that it's in the scripture, but how it's made all the difference in my life. But when I receive the word and then I value it, I don't realize I'm actually identifying myself in the citizenry of heaven. I'm actually beginning to value something that others have no value for. And so the word no longer is foolishness to me. It's bread. It's life. And Jesus goes on in John 15 to kind of tell us now, how do you do that? So John 15:1, which I'm going to show us how to kind of practice that, and then we'll use the last part of our time to practice and let God's power help us have experience. John 15:1 says, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Go back to verse 2 and 3. So, first off, if the Bible is not a book to do, but a book to behold, so that we can see Jesus, so that we can be transformed into his image from glory to glory, and we behold what the Lord is and what he has done, then don't live in a threat of being exiled every time you read the Bible. You will not be discharged and moved out of the house and told you're not along. So the idea of, oh no, if I'm not bearing enough fruit, I'm going to be, you know, get out of here. You're already clean by the words I spoke to you. The word clean and prune are the same Greek words. One, prune comes from the root word clean. So what happens when we come to abide in him? He speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, and like Cammie said, she started a conversation. A conversation ensued. And it was going in this direction, but God brought it in that direction. That's an encounter. That is happening all the time. And the more we begin to be aware of it and give place to it, the more we begin to get the fruit of it. Because when the word comes, it comes to clean us, to wash us with the water of the word. And it's the whole logos. It's the whole sum total of this discussion. I'd love for you to find a way to have a Bible with you, like on your phone, have a concordance on your phone, so, or at home, whatever's easy, because part of, I believe, the reason that we're not personally enjoying Jesus the way he meant us to enjoy him is that we're letting other people do the work for us and not enjoying the discovery ourselves. And with the tools that are available today, we can pretty much discover what anybody else can discover if we'll just give time and space and just kind of go looking and have a heart that's expectant. So he goes on, he says, okay, you're already clean. So, you know, be okay, guys. You're not about to get thrown out of the vine. Now, but then he talks about some things that are kind of an intentional responsibility. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot abide, bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the imagery of abiding means to stay in a given place or time or relation or expectancy. So to remain. So if you take the word abide in me, the intent of my heart is that I want to stay in this given place in you, Christ, that you've revealed to me of yourself currently, that you're wanting me to abide in you in. And I want to be in that place of expectancy. I want to stay in that same moment. I want to stay in the relationship that it creates for me to know. And I want to stay in a sense of looking forward to something coming. And I want you to have that same place in me. And then he goes and says, the branch cannot bear fruit, like we said, unless you abide. I am the vine, you're the branches. He abides in me, and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So that's a huge statement, because that really means what it said. So everything we do without Christ is nothing. Doesn't mean it's like not of value and doesn't help people, but it is not the life of Christ flowing through us. So the abiding, the remaining, the resting, the fellowshipping, the carrying his word, especially in our secret life, in our own, you know, I always say to everyone I try to disciple that you want to give God a good quality 30 minutes at minimum, where you're just intentionally alone with him. An hour is optimum and further is greater, because in the case of the kingdom, quantity becomes quality, especially when you're learning. So you're learning to go, okay, I'm here, and we're going to learn how to use the word, because the word will begin to reveal who Jesus is as we meditate. And over the next few weeks, I think we'll get all refreshers on meditation. So he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I believe in our lives that we're going to find ourselves at times, I know I have, withered, broken off, and it seems like all I do is get picked up and thrown into fires. You ever had that experience? You know, it's not like anybody did it but me. In other words, I broke off. I'm the one who just kind of quit abiding. And then once I discover, wait, this is not where I want to keep landing, I find I have an immediate return to the vine. So that's the state of what happens to a backslidden heart. It just gets overwhelmed by itself and doesn't have the joy of the life flowing to it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is the key verse, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. So back to verse 7, and then we'll try some practice. So Jesus said, if you abide in me, Steve. Now, 5 years ago, when the Lord shifted my entire focus from abide and do, just to abide, I had to really relearn to not be concerned with outcome. And I had to let go of a lot of outcomes that I was concerned about, which is a hard thing, because a lot of times in our heart, if you go to your heart, you go, well, there's not a lot of room for the word, not a lot of room for Jesus, because there's so many unresolved issues. I'm carrying disappointment. I'm carrying this question. I need this answer. And we get shut down. So when I began to practice a new place that God so graciously opened for me, I began to discover, you know, the funny thing about the Word is that it will actually form my emotions for me. It'll form my imagery. It'll help me tell me how to feel. It'll affect the way I think. If I'll just accept it as truth and then use it as a means of communion. Can you imagine a husband and a wife, and they're trying to grow together, but they're having an issue of trust, and somebody's not trusting what somebody's saying. Now, at some point, if you don't give that person, I will trust what you're saying to be true until you prove differently, or I'm going to again take the guard off my heart and abandon myself towards you, you'll have a kind of like a working relationship, but not an intimate relationship. But if you, now we as believers have been given many reasons circumstantially not to trust God. After a little bit of journeying with the Lord, we find that it doesn't go exactly the way we thought it was, and it looks like, and it would be okay if it was just me and God, but we have me, God, and the devil. And the devil wants to reinterpret everything as God is not good, God is not faithful. Remember, Adam was in the Garden of Eden. He's kind of just minding his own business, not doing much. God says, you know what, you really need to get a wife. So he got him married, still wasn't doing that much. Tree of Life was left alone. But it wasn't until the devil got into the place and started to create questioning. So the thing that has happened that I didn't really understand that is that when Abraham grew into the maturity of his faith, it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. The word staggered literally means to separate thoroughly. It's like where we take the Bible and we start going, well, you know, I wonder what that really meant, instead of, I want it to affect me. I want to have an experience with you in it. I don't want to really understand what it means, because who cares what it means as long as I meet the one who wrote it. Now, I'll learn what it means by meeting you, but I want you to be my goal. So then you begin to have a couple that begins to have the same language. If Jesus says his word, we say, oh, that's a wonderful thing. Thank you so much. If we say back to him, this is who you are, because this is you are the word, then he goes, that's wonderful. I agree with that. No wonder the Father says, hey, let's live here. Let's live here. And it seems to be so elementary that we think we're automatically doing it. But it's not a mental ascent. As much as I want to say that I believe that, I can't believe that by saying I want to believe that. I can't even choose to believe. Faith is a gift. It comes by God's hearing his word, but it's a discovery that he opened the door for me to hear it. Otherwise, I could have obtained it with my senses, with my intellect, with my strength, my reasoning. So when we practice this, okay, Lord Jesus, I want to abide in you. Okay, by what you accomplish, I can come right now and I can be in the presence of the Father. Now that I'm in the presence of the Father, I want to ascribe to you. Well, honestly, there are many, many places of glory to give Jesus, and I always find the one I need is the one I should give him in. If I'm struggling in my humanity and wondering how can it be so unfair to live the life I have to live, I go to Isaiah 53. Because I go to what Jesus did, and I go, first words, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He will grow up like a tender plant, like a root out of dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected by men. I go, whoa, you think I had a bad day? You started off in the womb being rejected. And yet you somehow kept an intimacy with Father that, wow. And somehow if you can identify your life with Jesus in any stage of his journey from inception in Mary to his glorification now seated next to the right hand of the Father, you'll find where you need to connect to him. And when you connect to him, he is your life. You see, the first thing I learned when the Lord says, you leave alone outcome. That's my business. You abide. Don't try to abide and produce and then bring fruit and gather and harvest and do all of it. Just abide. And then when you're abiding, I started realizing, wow, the one thing that you seem to love more than anything is your word. I mean, I knew these scriptures, but I didn't know that they really meant what they said. That, you know, abide in you. Okay, I'm in you. Seriously. If I'm in Christ, what else do I need? Even though circumstantially, I need a whole lot of extra stuff. And if I let all that stuff crowd me out, then Jesus is like a little dinky little guy that doesn't seem to have any resource over it. But if I abide in Jesus, he crowds out all the stuff. He starts to have supremacy. And I listen. You see, the conversation, the reason you want a conversation, you don't want to just go quiet unless you're already engaged in conversation. Your mouth is like a rudder of a ship. It directs you where you're going to have an encounter. It says that with the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, our mouth directs us to where we're going to have an encounter. So I walk and I praise and I listen and I engage and I flow in scripture. And I'll hear myself say something I never heard myself say. And I go, whoa, that's pretty cool. And then I collect it. Like I said this afternoon, I said, Lord, I love you with everything. And you are my everything. And I thought, that was really, I love you with everything, but you are my everything. You not only are the everything I love, but you're the everything so I can love. You are the beginning and the end. And so all it did was, I overheard a conversation going on between my heart and Father. My head grabbed it and said, let's expand that. Let's get a hold of that, because that obviously is important, because it already came out. So but it always isn't that easy if the conflict, if the noise is so loud and there's so many things contending for you to rest. And we have to kind of go, okay, well then, let me employ the discipline as Jesus is teaching. Abide in me. I want you to continue in the state, in the relation, in the time, in the expectancy of what you've heard with me. And I want you to let my words abide in you in that same state expectancy. So with my mouth, I honestly began to do is you take a portion of scripture, and once you acknowledge it by Jesus, you're in his presence and gave him his praise, and your praise is where you need him to be. If I'm having one of my days of my flesh, it's Isaiah 53. If I want to identify with the days of his glorification, it's Hebrews 1. If I want to step into my inheritance in Christ, it's Ephesians chapter 1. It's just, and each one of these is just started with a verse that I go, wow, that's a really cool verse. And I, instead of going, I want to memorize it and do it, I started to say, I'd like to worship you because that's who you are. And before long, I memorized it, not because I tried to, it's just because I worshiped him. But as I worshiped him, then the experience of the verse started to affect me. And then once I've done that, there's this place of development. So we're going to, because the power of God is the Holy Spirit's love language, and he can give you the language of power to do miracles, or he can give you the language of love to stand up and go through the day and not give up. That's just as much resurrection life as raising somebody from the dead when you just get up and say, I'll live another day. He can cause you to have the power to stand up for right and accomplish great things. We can give you the power to surrender your rights and let somebody else have their way. Both are power. He's the active force. He's the part which you look for. He's the joy when it comes, because he starts to connect things. And he's like, whoa, yeah. He's now getting involved in the conversation. His anointing, his light, his shine, and you look for the sound. So what I want us to do in the next 20 minutes online and here in the house is I'd like you to take, we'll do it for 15 minutes. I'd like you to take either a portion in John 14. I'm going to give you total freedom. Here's three choices. You can take any scripture that you're currently wanting to internalize and experience and have the fruit of it. So any scripture, if you already got one that you were thinking, go there. Or you can take John 15 and go, what is that? Let me read that out loud to the Lord and try to get a sense of what is that. Let me overhear the conversation. Or you could take the John 14 that we began in verse 1 through 4, or John 22 and 23. And Diana will give us some music. That's wonderful. But you can stay seated. You can walk around. And we'll just do it for about 10, 15 minutes. And I'll do it quietly for those online so that you don't just disconnect. And what you do is you read a scripture and you kind of like, the best imagery, because it's the one thing we've seen so many pictures, somebody like checking a glass of wine. You kind of swirl it around, inhale it, a sip. You know, I don't know how to do any of that. I mean, I watch people. Most embarrassing thing. No, I mean, it's not that I don't do that. I mean, I just don't know how to do it. It's like, you know, somebody comes, sir, would you try this? I go, well, sure, I'll try that, but I probably won't be able to tell the difference, but here I am. But that's really about the word too. So Lord, you are the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the true vines, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, you take away. I love to personalize it. Lord Jesus, you're the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and you are causing. If you can say what you read in another way, you're understanding what you're hearing. Lord, you are causing that which is not productive or abiding. There's a separation that takes place. But the way you make us bear more fruit is through the words you're speaking. And when you speak a word, though it washes us something off of us, it opens the door for us to have more productivity. Wow, thank you. Thank you. I want your word to wash over me. I want to have more word. I want you to speak more. Please speak to me. Please speak to me. And so I'll read, I'll rephrase, I'll reengage, and I ruminate. I may stay on a verse forever. I may go through 3 verses in a second and get to a verse. There's no perfect way. It's where do you feel, where do you land? What gives you a lift? What gives you a spark, a little bit of light? What makes your heart flutter? That's where you want to go. So let's go ahead and please grab your Bible. If not, we'll maybe run those scriptures. Rachel, just go like slowly through 1 through John 15, 1 through 8 over and over again, just little by little. So if you didn't bring your Bible. Now, Father, we just give the next 10 minutes to a time of practice. We're in the presence. We want the word to come alive and abide. And Holy Spirit, we need you to come with the demonstration of your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead, grab your Bible, move around if you like. I'll use this microphone to talk to the audience. The scripture on your screen. We'll work that one together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus, you are the true vine. Father, you are the vine dresser. I thank you that every branch that does not bear fruit, you take away. We don't have to worry about that. But every branch that bears fruit, you prune, that it may bear more fruit. Doesn't matter where my life is, it's being cause to bear fruit, more fruit will come. Lord, I thank you that you're already clean because of the word which you've spoken to you. I have no idea what you've done fully in my life, but your words have cleansed me and cleaned me. They make me one in you, in union. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you make me clean. Speak to me. I want to hear more. I do. Thank you. Abide in me, and I in you, as every branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I want to abide in you, Jesus, and I want you to abide in me. I acknowledge today that I am abiding in you and you're abiding in me. That I'm a branch that cannot bear fruit of myself. Lord, everything we're endeavoring to do, be, and become is powerless without you. You are the one. Thank you that you give me fruit, that you allow me to carry you and bring you, allow you to live through me. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch, is withered, and there they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. Lord, it's too easy to disconnect. Not you. You never disconnect, but I have disconnected many times in grief and sorrow, in shame, in blame and offense, in controversy and conflict. I've withdrawn and I start to wither and dry up. And whereas once a fruit-bearing branch, I become wood for somebody's fire. But Lord, I thank you that I can return. And when I do, you receive me. And I'm welcomed and I'm made back, joined, grafted in again, bearing the fruit of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, I'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Lord, I abide in you. I abide in you. I come to stay in the given place, time, relation, and state of expectancy. Lord, I want to be in that moment. I want that moment to stay alive. I want it to grow. I want it to be as real as it was the first time my eyes saw you. I want all that I've seen to be more. I abide in you. I behold you. You're beautiful. And Lord, I value your word more than anything, more than gold and silver. Words you have spoken are life. And they I want to hold and keep in my heart, that they could bear much fruit for you. Abide in your word. Let it abide in me. Thank you for the things you've said. They define me. They find me. They cause your glory to be reflected in me. They are the substance of my covenant. Holy Spirit, you have the power to bring it to pass. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you that we can be in such union. That not only am I abiding in you, but the very words you've spoken are abiding in me, and we are one. I can ask anything. It's done for me. I'm not trying to figure it out. I don't need to know what it's about. I just have an impulse. I have a need. I have a sense of the leaning of your heart and the direction you want to go. You've paid for it all, so I can ask for anything. And you're the goal of my life, so you're everything I already asked for. So I can go on divergent tangents to do things, or I can stay just in total peace and rest and sleep in the back of the boat while the storm passes through. I can ask anything. You abide in me. I want your words alive in me. Father, I want you to be glorified in the Son and in our lives by the fruit that I bear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's how you do it. You just pause, and maybe a verse comes up that you weren't thinking, and you go off on that verse. A word pops up that seemed to be like, wow, I wonder what that word really means. You go jump in your concordance and get a definition. You go, wow, that reminds me of another verse. You go find it. simply whispers across your heart, voice of the Lord, the wind of the Spirit, and you're off on a fellowship and a journey with God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Papa. Oh, Papa. Oh, Papa. Oh, Papa. Yeah, Lord.
Now I make my home in you. You have made your home in me.
I'd like to just release a word and have us have a moment of pondering the power of it. This week, if you'll take your quiet time and separate yourself, however that works, you don't have to do it any religious way, but just make sure it's yours and his, and you have he has access to you. And you have, in a conversation ensues. He can walk, you can kneel, you can stand, and let his word now, and it doesn't have to be any of the scriptures we've just used. It can be the one you're trying to touch God and God's trying to touch you with. It's meditation. It's movement toward God, to the pondering, to the mulling, to the chewing and encountering, ascribing, praising, worshiping, responding, directing. And just do it 5 days, 5 days a week, 7 days in a week, 5 days a week. Give him the time, and then the steps that we learn, they'll get to be your steps, and then you won't, we'll move, we'll grow together in what we can do next. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, I want you to listen to this with the ears of understanding. And then I want to pray it over you. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. This place of habitation, your heart that's going to be, has become God's mansion, requires the resources of the riches of the glory of God, communicated to us by Holy Spirit, so that we might be strengthened internally in our inner man, so that we can hold the place of dwelling, or let Christ dwell in our heart. I know if you're like me and you're honest, many times you feel like God is far, far away from an abiding dwelling place in the center of your heart. But Holy Spirit will make that a reality, an experiential truth. And then love, we get rooted in. So I want to pray, and I'm going to believe the Lord. See, power is just that. It's just the means of God to accomplish what we could not ourselves accomplish for ourselves. And if He comes right now, and you ponder that for the week, I want Jesus in my heart. I want Him to abide in me, and I abide in Him. I need Holy Spirit to communicate the riches of the glory of God so that I could be strong in my inner man, so that Christ could dwell in my heart by faith, so that I could be rooted and grounded in His love. Wow, that's a pile of, that's like a mine. You could go, there's a lot of gold in there. So Lord, I come to You, Father. You're the Father of all the family, both in heaven and earth, and of my Lord Jesus. And I want to now, again, Holy Spirit, You're the communicator of all that God has given Jesus and all that I have in Christ. So now bring from the riches of the glory of God and begin to bring to me the strength of might in my inner man. Let's stand together. We'll close with this. Put your hand on your belly. It's probably somewhere about there your inner man is. If not, it's the biggest part of us. Our bowels, our guts, our feelings, emotions. Father, we're asking You that You would, by the riches of Your glory, by Holy Spirit, communicate might and power. Communicate. We call might and power, according to the riches of Your glory, that You might strengthen us with might through Your Spirit in our inner man. That You might strengthen us with the dunamis, the might, the power, the exorcisis, all of You in our inner man. Lord, You know the outer man and You know the world we're in. We want an inner man strengthened right now. And so we appropriate by the word of God that this is indeed our inheritance. And so we say, inner man, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Inner man, come alive with strength and might and dominion. And we say, oh Lord, that we would have Christ dwell in our heart by faith. Jesus, You're welcome in our home. Our heart is Your home. Your heart is our home. We will dwell in You and You will dwell in us. And You root us in love. Remove all vestige of religion and rejection and not enough and never good enough and all of the things that disqualify, condemnation and accusation. And may we be forever before You, Father, holy and without blame in love. Christ dwelling in our heart by faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And then as most of you know, if you're tongue-talking Holy Spirit people, you can just go, in the name of Jesus, make what is being said in my mind, I can't get a hold of, a reality. There's always a time when I'm with the Lord, I don't have nothing more to say but Holy Spirit language. Make these truths, abiding truths, living truths, sustaining truth. Shaba hande rebo raba haba de la moho ke ke kata. Ziku rebo rema de la bute ge matiera motoko. Indare toro motoko remeta kamasha. in the name of Jesus. My place, your place, your place, my place. Mi casa, su casa. Jesus, dwell in my heart by faith. Jesus, dwell in my heart by faith. I want rooted and grounded. My foundation be love, your love. Pour out love in my heart, Holy Spirit. Father, release the words of hope so that I have a hope in my future and expectancy in the future. Faith, hope, and love. Father, we're closing our time, so Lord, would you seal what you're doing in each of us online, here in this house, at a later date, those who watch. Secure a place that we could go and return to you and practice this more in tomorrow, days to come, that we would begin to become fully recognizing of you in our midst and in our heart, and we would find words that begin to describe you, and we would have those words abide in us. And in the process of abiding in you and your words abiding in us, we would become so conscious of the union you have created for us that our prayer language would just be really, would be very easy to know what to pray and how to pray, when to pray. So in the name of Jesus, I decree over us that there will be supernatural help, whether it's angels that need to help us in our praying, whether it's Holy Spirit that needs to come up with strength to lift us up out of the place of discouragement or shutdown, whether it's Father that needs to re-speak over us the future and our inheritance, and Jesus who is our redemption and completeness, we take hold of all of salvation. And we're not going to let it go. We're not going to let it slip by us and wonder why life isn't working. We're taking all of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we ask you to activate it in us this week as we go and be with you throughout the week. And make it yours and make us yours and us yours and you us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.